thank you all for a wonderful day and all the good hard work. And Janice, I was going to buy Robbie a packet of those Tar Heel cookies. But when I went back to get them, they were all gone. So, you know, just an opportunity. Just an opportunity there. But anyhow, I've got a few verses of Scripture I want to share with you this morning. Acts 4, 36 through 37. Luke tells us that Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. And then Romans 16, 1 and 2, Paul tells us, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Cenchrea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and to give her any help she may need from you. For she has been a great help to many, including me. Romans 16, 10. Greet Apelles, tested and approved in Christ. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who worked hard in the Lord. Greet my friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. A little over a week ago, I went with my son, John, to an NC State football game. And during halftime, Torrey Holt was recognized for being named to the College Football Hall of Fame. Now, Holt played for NC State from 1995 to 1998. He will be one of 14 people who are officially inducted on December 10th. Now, when I saw that and I got home, and I could not help but wonder, what are the criteria for being selected for the College Football Hall of Fame? And I searched the internet, but I didn't find a lot of specifics. Just that one should be an exceptional individual, someone who distinguishes himself on and off the field. And I also discovered in my search that there are just a lot of Hall of Fames. Pro Football Hall of Fame, baseball, basketball, tennis, NASCAR. There's a Country Music Hall of Fame, and there's even a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And that's to name just a few. Now, with all of that, I started thinking about the church. And I wondered, what if the Christian church had a Hall of Fame? One composed of those men and women who distinguished themselves in the life of the church and in the service of Christ. Now, of course, not every member would qualify, and I'm not going to talk about some of those in the past that I think would not qualify. But what would a Hall of Fame church member look like? Well, glad you asked that question. I think he or she would look like a man named Barnabas. We meet him in Acts 4. And we are told that at one point his name was Joseph, but the apostles changed it to Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Now that suggests to me that Barnabas was a positive, caring personality. That Barnabas was the kind of individual who would get alongside people and encourage them to remain faithful to Christ, faithful to his church. He would encourage them to grow in that commitment that they had made to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think that you would ever hear Barnabas say to an individual, "Well, you can't do that." And I don't think Barnabas was the kind of man who could say to the church, "Well, we've never done it that way before. We just can't do that." I think Barnabas was the kind of individual who would say, "Yes, we can. The Lord willing, we can do it. We can." Lloyd Ogilvie tells us this about Barnabas. Whenever we meet him on the pages of the New Testament, he is helping, encouraging, affirming, uplifting, and untiring in claiming the best for people. He was Paul's missionary companion. He believed in Mark when Mark became a missionary dropout, and he served the needs of people to the end of his life. His ministry with Paul, his affirmation of the young man Mark, his faithfulness when Paul was in prison, and his consistency in helping new Christians are an indication that his life was consistent with his name. What would a Hall of Fame Christian, a Hall of Fame church member look like? Well, I think that they would look like a woman named Phoebe. We meet her in Acts 16. Paul calls her a sister. That is to say, a fellow believer. We get Paul also calls her a servant of the church. We get our word deacon from that word, and whatever else it means that Phoebe gave herself to the work of the church and to the cause of Christ, being a servant. Phoebe was willing to be used wherever she was needed. No task was too great, no task too small for her to take on. Paul also says that Phoebe was a great help to many people. And then Paul says, "And she was also a big help to me." Now that word "help" is translated benefactor, one who supports someone in some endeavor in a financial way. And a lot of scholars suggest that Phoebe was a woman of wealth, and that she used her wealth to support the ministry of Paul and the cause of Christ in the ancient world. And to that I would ask, you don't have to be wealthy to do that. I've known people over the years who did not have a great deal, financially speaking, in material things. And yet they gave of themselves and they gave of their resources unselfishly, sacrificially. And they also gave of their time and their talents in the service of Christ. They give so much and they do so much. And it's not a matter of duty. It's a matter of devotion to Christ and His church. What a strength they are. What a blessing they are to the church. And what an example they are for all of the rest of us. What does a Hall of Fame church member, a Hall of Fame Christian look like? I think they would look like a lady named Apelles. Paul refers to Apelles as tested and approved in Christ. That means proven after examination. To be tried and tested and found faithful. I don't know what testing Apelles went through. Sickness, suffering, sorrow, some personal tragedy, but through it all, she remained faithful to Christ. Stayed involved in the life of the church. She didn't walk away when the going got tough. And there are people like Apelles in every church. Men and women who in their personal lives, they've known struggle and hardship and heartbreak and great personal tragedy, and yet they are some of the most dedicated, gracious, committed, faithful Christians, church members to be found anywhere. And I don't know how anyone could look at their lives and not be inspired to look beyond their own excuses, their own problems, their own circumstances, and determine that they're going to serve Christ and His church more faithfully. What would a Hall of Fame Christian church member look like? Well, I think they would look like some of the women who are named in verses 10 and 12, and also verse 6, whom Paul says they have worked very hard in the Lord. In the King James Version, that word worked hard means to labor. It means to grow weary. It means to become spent from hard work. It can mean to toil on, even when there's no visible sign of success. You know what would have happened if the early church had gotten discouraged at the first sign of resistance? We probably wouldn't be here today praising the Lord. They'd just given up and said, oh, well, it's not going to work. Not these ladies. They kept on keeping on, even when there was no visible signs of success, and that's the kind of service they were performing in the life of the church and in the service of Christ. They were giving their all, their very best, because they believed that in time, if they were faithful, God would give the increase, that God would bless their efforts, and the harvest would come. They believed the promise, let us not grow weary in doing well, for in due season we shall reap if we do not faint. Let me tell you something, a church like that, a church with men and women like that cannot be stopped, it cannot be defeated. It's going to succeed. It's going to attempt great things for God, and it's going to achieve great things for God. The story is told about the German poet Heinrich Heine, that he and a friend were visiting some of the great cathedrals in France, and as they stood before one and they were admiring the architecture and all that went into that building, and the friend said, tell me, Heinrich, why can't people build like this anymore? And the poet replied, friend, in those days, people had conviction. We moderns have opinions, and it takes more than opinions to build Gothic cathedrals. And when I look at Barnabas, and when I look at the men and women in Acts 16, I understand in a far, far deeper way what Heinrich Heine was talking about. It does indeed take more than opinions, more than talk, to build a great church. It takes men and women who have conviction and commitment and devotion and dedication. It takes real Hall of Famers. Do you know what the most outstanding characteristic, the most outstanding quality that a Hall of Fame church member, a Hall of Fame Christian possesses. Paul tells us what it is in Ephesians 5:25 when he said that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, and like their Lord and Savior. Hall of Famers love the church that Christ loved, and so they give themselves. That is to say, having given themselves to Christ, they give themselves to the church. Their time, their talents, their energies, their resources, their love, their devotion. John Oxenham wrote that love ever gives, forgives, outlives, and while it lives, it gives. For this is love's prerogative, to give and give and give. That's what Hall of Famers do in the life of the church. Well, back in 1988, I'm closing now, Ray Bolts recorded a song that in my mind, it pays tribute to the Hall of Famers in every church. And that includes our church. And so, Hall of Famers, and you're probably sitting next to one this morning. And so, Hall of Famers, this song is for you.
As the eye could see, Each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices made, unnoticed on the earth, in heaven now proclaimed. And I know up in heaven you're not supposed to cry. I am almost sure there were tears in your eyes as Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord. He said, my child, look around you, for great is your reward. That was changed.
Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you came. Thank you for giving to the Lord.
Thank you, and thank you. Let's stand as we sing hymn 287, Take My Life, Lead Me, Lord. May this be a time of renewal and recommitment for each of us. If you're not a church member, we invite you to become one. If you do not know Christ, we invite you to come and invite him into your heart and to recommit your life as we stand and as we sing.